By the end of his year in Göttingen, Oppenheimer was showing unmistakable signs of homesickness. In his casual remarks about things German, he sounded like a chauvinist American. Nothing in Germany could compare to the desert landscapes of New Mexico. "He's too much," complained a Dutch student. According to Oppenheimer, even the flowers seem to smell better in America. He threw a party at his apartment the night before leaving, and among many others, the lovely, dark-haired Charlotte Riefenstahl came to say goodbye. Robert made a point of giving her the pigskin satchel she had admired when they had first met. She kept it for the next 3 decades, calling it the Oppenheimer. After a quick side trip with Paul Dirac to Leiden, Robert sailed for New York from Liverpool in mid-July 1927. It felt good to be home. He had not only survived, he had triumphed, bringing back a hard-earned doctorate. Among theoretical physicists, it was known that young Oppenheimer had first-hand knowledge of the latest European breakthroughs in quantum mechanics. Barely 2 years after graduating from Harvard, Robert was a rising star in his field. Earlier that spring, he had been encouraged to take a Rockefeller Foundation-funded postdoctoral fellowship awarded by the National Research Council to promising young scientists. He had accepted and decided to spend the fall term at Harvard before moving to Pasadena, California, where he had been offered a teaching post at the California Institute of Technology, Caltech, a leading center of scientific research. So, even as he unpacked his bags at the Oppenheimer home on Riverside Drive, Robert knew that his immediate future was set. In the meantime, he had 6 weeks to become reacquainted with his 15-year-old brother Frank and to visit with his parents. To his regret, Julius and Ella had decided to sell the Bayshore house the previous winter. But as his sailboat, the Trimethe, was still temporarily moored near the house, Robert took Frank out, as he had so many times in the past, for a wild sail along the Long Island coast. In August, the brothers joined their parents for a short vacation on Nantucket. "My brother and I," Frank recalled, "spent most of the days painting with oils on canvas the dunes and grassy hills." Frank worshipped his brother. Unlike Robert, he was good with his hands and loved tinkering with things, taking apart electric motors and watches and putting them back together. Now, at the Ethical Culture School, he too was gravitating towards physics. When Robert had left for Harvard, he had given Frank his microscope, and Frank had used it one day to look at his own sperm. "Never having heard of sperm," Frank said, "it was really a marvelous discovery." At the end of that summer, Robert was pleased to hear that Charlotte Riefenstahl had accepted a teaching post at Vassar College. When, in September, her boat arrived in New York Harbor, he was at dockside to meet her. Traveling with her were two other triumphant Göttingen alumni, Samuel Hautschmidt and George Uhlenbeck, with Uhlenbeck's new wife, Elsie. Oppenheimer knew both men as accomplished physicists. Together, Hautschmidt and Uhlenbeck had discovered the existence of electron spin in 1925. Robert spared no expense in serving as their host in New York. "We all got the real Oppenheimer treatment," Hautschmidt recalled, "but it was for Charlotte's benefit, really. He met us in this great chauffeur-driven limousine and took us downtown to a hotel he had selected in Greenwich Village." Over the next few weeks, he escorted Charlotte all over New York, taking her to all his old haunts, from the city's great art galleries to the most expensive restaurants he could find. Charlotte protested, "Is the Ritz really the only hotel you know?" And as an indication of how serious were his intentions, he introduced Charlotte to his parents at the spacious apartment on Riverside Drive. But though Charlotte admired Robert and was flattered by his attentions, she sensed that he was emotionally unavailable. He evaded all her attempts to get him to talk about his past. She found the Oppenheimer home stifling and overprotective, and the couple began to drift apart. Charlotte's teaching position at Vassar kept her out of New York, and Oppenheimer's fellowship required his presence at Harvard. Charlotte eventually returned to Germany. In 1931, she married Robert's Göttingen classmate Fritz Hutermans. Back at Harvard that autumn, he renewed his friendship with William Boyd, who was in Cambridge finishing his doctorate in biochemistry. Robert confided in him about his troubled year at Cambridge. Boyd was not surprised. He had always thought of Robert as an emotionally taut young man who could nevertheless handle his troubles. Poetry was still a passion with Robert, and when he showed Boyd a poem he had written, his friend encouraged him to submit it to Harvard's literary magazine, Hound and Horn. It appeared in the June 1928 issue. Crossing.
It was evening when we came to the river with a low moon over the desert that we had lost in the mountains, forgotten, what with the cold and the sweating and the ranges barring the sky. And when we found it again, in the dry hills down by the river, half withered, we had the hot winds against us.